Our rock tonight. We're going to thank and praise our rock tonight. He's the reason we're here. We couldn't have made it through this weary land if we wouldn't have had a rock who is steadfast and sure. Would you turn to Deuteronomy 32, beginning with verse 3. Hurry and turn there. I'm anxious to preach. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 3. You there yet? Praise God. Hallelujah. The name and the rock go together. You talk about the rock, you got to talk about the name. Hallelujah. Verse 3 of Deuteronomy 32, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. That's what we were just doing. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. Not a rock. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his way are judgment. A God of truth, and he is without iniquity. Just and right is he. He is the rock. That's my subject tonight. He is the rock. Praise God. Let's thank him together for every time he's been our rock. Lord, I thank you for being to us that rock that your word describes to us. And we're just going to delve into it and find some more out about how great you are. And we want to ascribe greatness unto you tonight in this message, in this service, that this congregation, that this people, that we are the people of your name, give glory and praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I hadn't planned to say this, but I just feel this right now. God wants praise in the midst of this message. I know that you may think that I'm saying that because I want some kind of noise or some kind of response. That is not true. I just felt the impression of the Holy Ghost. Speak to me and tell me God wants praise. If Moses ascribes greatness, how much more can this, that's it, how much more can this New Testament church ascribe greatness to the Lord God Almighty? He is our rock. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, and you may be seated for a little while. My message was printing, and I had to leave, and the last two pages didn't get printed off, and Amber was supposed to bring the last two pages, and she didn't bring them. So you've got her to thank tonight for the shorter message. One of the characteristics of the land of Israel, both in bygone days and today, is the mountainous, rocky terrain that is so prevalent there. You would notice that you would go away from a visit to the land of Palestine saying and talking about many things, perhaps, but one thing you would say is it's hilly, it's rocky, it's a mountainous place. Those mountains provided hiding places. Those mountains provided military fortresses. Those caves provided refuge and rest and refreshing. So it is little wonder then that the inspired Bible writers would look at the strength and the security and the stability of these natural mountains and think about the great Jehovah God that they served. I'm going to just stop here long enough and say I'm glad we're serving the same God that Moses was writing about in Deuteronomy. He has not changed. There's only one. His name is Jesus. He's a great God, and he is a rock. When God is said to be our rock, he is telling us he is our strength. He is our security, because there is strength and security in the mountain. He is an impregnable strength. He becomes our concealment as our rock. A rock means that he is our safety. In him we have permanence. In him we have stability. In him we have firmness. That's why it said, God is our rock. One of the original words for that word rock comes from the meanings of the words source, the word fountain, or the word origin. So when they would talk about a rock, many times they would refer to the source of something, the source of a water flow, the source of a mountain stream. God is our source. When we say he is our rock, we're saying he's our fountain. He is our source, and he certainly is our place of origin. No wonder the scripture so frequently talks about it. Hannah prayed it in her prayer. There's none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock. I want to get Hannah's spirit tonight. There's no other place we can run to hide. There's no other rock that is so stable. There's no other rock out of which flows such a pure, crystal clear stream of living water. Hannah is in that temple praising and praying, and she has to say, there is no rock like our God. And then David a few years later said, for who is God? Save the Lord. And who is a rock? Save our God. And then Moses said, how should one chase 1,000 and 2 put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock. Other people have rocks. Other people have gods that they say are strong and they believe in as stable helps and origin of great blessings. But there is no rock like our rock. There is no God like our God. In fact, Moses, when he made that statement, finished it up by saying, even our enemies themselves being the judges. Even the enemy had to say, your God does more than our God does. Your rock stronger than our rock. Your mountain is higher than our mountain. Your God is greater than our God. I'm going to tell you tonight, church, we're serving a God. His presence is in this house. If you're a stranger to the presence of God, let me introduce you to the greatest of the greats. We believe what God has said. There's none beside him. There's only one God. His name is Jesus. And we're ascribing greatness and glory and power unto him. He's our rock. The word of the Lord declares that he is the rock of our salvation. David said this, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. David would have loved those songs we were singing a while ago. I go to the rock. He wrote one about the rock. He said, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Our rock is the rock of our salvation. What do you mean, Brother Williford? What's God mean when he says he's our salvation? Here it is simply. In him we can hide our sins. In that mountainous terrain of Israel, when they spoke of a rock, they not only meant a little pebble or a piece of a boulder. But when they said rock, they referred to cliffs, and they referred to caves where they could run in and hide or hide things. In Him, we can hide our sins. Everybody has some kind of sin. Everybody has some kind of failure. It all depends on where you hide it, as to how the outcome of your life is going to end, and whether or not you are going to find true salvation. Thank God we can hide it underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God we have a place to hide our sins. Thank God we have a God to run to at an altar of repentance. I'm preaching to a lot of people tonight who several years ago you experienced the blessing of repentance. I hope it's not so long ago that we've forgotten how it was when we came burdened in sin and bound in sin. But tonight, as the song said a while ago, the Lord set us free from that sin. And we ran into that refuge of salvation. I want to tell you, the devil was hunting us down. The devil was breathing on our neck. He's breathing on somebody's neck tonight. But there's a rock of salvation. There is a place you can run into. I'm going to tell you, just look around you right now. There are people clapping their hands, lifting their hands, nodding their heads, worshiping God because they've found a refuge. Aren't you thankful for the refuge you found in the rock? I'm glad when I was running for all I could run with, there was a rock I could run in and find safety. Inside that rock, we're safe from our past. We're safe from our past. Thank you, Brother Miller, for that tremendous message this morning. Nothing to lose and everything to gain. And he touched on this, and I feel the Holy Ghost leading us back that same pathway and point. We are safe in the rock from our past. The devil wants to get you out there vulnerable to what you used to be and what you used to do and those sins you've already repented of. And when we're out in the open and we do not hide in the rock and have confidence that God has taken those sins away, we are vulnerable to depression and discouragement, and we can't do what God wants us to do or be what He wants us to be. But thanks be unto God that gives us the victory. He's the rock of our salvation, and we run into that rock and we're safe from our past. You are not what you once were. There are some, and I will call them good centers and help agencies. Many things that they do are good, but there are some errors in their thinking, because one of the statements that they have people make, for instance, Alcoholics Anonymous, they do many good things, but one of the statements that they have persons make is, I was alcoholic, I am an alcoholic, I will always be an alcoholic. That is not true. That is not true. That is not true. There is a powerful God. There is a transforming spirit. There is a life-changing power. There is a rock. You see, there's no rock like our rock. God can do what Alcoholics Anonymous cannot do. I want to emphasize again, there are these societies and these things and many things that they do, but I've got to reiterate the words of the writer. There's no rock like our rock. You can't run into anything anonymous and have the freedom that you have when God comes in and you go into that rock. I'm preaching to somebody tonight that needs a deliverance from sin of the past, that God is your helper. You can run and you can be safe for eternity inside that rock. He said, no man can pluck you out of my hand. Some people have used that to preach an eternal doctrine, a doctrine of eternal security. But you can walk out of the hand of God. The same way you can walk out of a cave. The same way you can go out and make yourself vulnerable. But if you'll run into the rock, you can be eternally saved. I'm going to tell you, what God put in us is eternal. His Spirit, He is eternal. And He's living inside of us. We may go by way of the grave the first physical death, but we don't have to die the second death of separation and away from God if you'll run into the rock. of your salvation. You can be safe from an eternity of destruction. There really is a hell. There really are burning flames. There really is a place of torment. There really is an eternal separation from God. But on the other hand, there really is a heaven. There really is a haven of rest. There really is a place of safety. And you can run into that rock. I want to get inside tonight. I want to get inside the rock and the cliff and the cave that says, I'm your God and you're my child. Don't let your past stop you. Come on, somebody. Run inside the cave. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous runneth therein. And are safe. There is something to run from in this world. We need to run from the influence of evil. And run from the things that would try to impact and influence our life, our spiritual life in a negative way. The sin and the remembrances of the past. But run into that place. So it's no wonder. It's no wonder that the writer said, blessed be the God, the rock of my salvation. One more place, David said this, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He's my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer. When you run into the safety of the rock, you're going to be delivered. Can God deliver from anything? How many are testimonies tonight? You can either wave your hand or stand, whatever you feel like doing, that God is a deliverer. You ran into the rock. You found your place. Oh, thanks be unto God. Thanks. I believe we ought to be with Hannah and David. Blessed is the rock. Blessings to the rock. Praise to the rock. Glory to the rock. He's the rock. The God of my rock. In him will I trust. Trust in somebody. He's my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. There's salvation in this rock. In that Old Testament, that rock was smitten, and out of that rock flowed the waters that would quench the thirst of those men and women in that desert wilderness. And on Calvary, here's the rock of our salvation. On Calvary, the Lord was smitten. And out of that smiting flows the power and the blood and the water and the strength. Calvary is still in vogue today. Calvary is still powerful today. In the same way that when that rock was smitten in the Old Testament, life flowed out. When he was smitten on Calvary, life flowed out. You can be changed by the cross of Calvary tonight. You can be changed because he died for your sins. You can be changed because he took those stripes upon his back. Oh, making it possible for us to find in him a resting place of salvation, a rock of our salvation. He is also a rock of provision. Has God been good? I'm going to tell you, these aren't just preaching questions right now. I'll be honest, sometimes we ask things just to see if folks are awake. You're awake tonight. I'm serious with these questions. Has God been good to you? He's a rock of provision, isn't he? When Israel got to going through that wilderness, they came to a place where they were thirsty. They were going through that dry land. Provision came out of a rock for God's people. The greatest provision, whether it's a job provision, whether it's monetary provision, whether it's healing provision, whatever it is, the greatest provisions in the world come out of the rock, Christ Jesus. That's why we pray about it. That's why we fast about it. That's why we bring it to our brothers and sisters and say, will you agree with me about it? Because we're going to the rock of our provision. Numbers describes what happened. Exodus describes what happened when Moses, on two instances, one time speaking and then another time smiting the rock. And out of that rock would flow rivers of water that they would drink from. But you know, I've enjoyed in the study of this message reading about what some other people that lived later on had to say about that provision. One of them was Asaph, the psalmist. And here's what he said. He said, God clave the rocks in the wilderness. God just split those rocks open and gave them drink as out of the great depths. When you go down deep for water, one thing you get is cold water. And another thing you get is pure water. When he hit that rock, or when he spoke to that rock, out of flowing from that rock that was with them, that the Bible says hallowed them in the wilderness, out of that rock didn't just flow some little stream and some lukewarm water that had been burned and parched by the hot sun of that desert wilderness. But the Bible says he gave them a drink as out of the great depths. God can bring something miraculous out of what seems like an impossible situation. And we may wonder, well, what kind of a water, what kind of provision am I going to get out of this by just praying about it? But I'm going to tell you, God can give something better than any body, than any power, than any man-made power can do. And when he clave those rocks, out of those rocks came clear, cold water. Have you ever had a provision from God, and even you had to say, where did that come from? Brother Gary, I'm just now thinking about that job provision God did for you. And I remember you telling me that when you turned that down so that you could be in the house of God, one of the first offers, there was a friend that told you and said, you should have never done that. You won't get that job. You passed up your opportunity. Man don't know our God. Man doesn't understand this rock. I'm going to tell you, when God splits the rock in the wilderness, water's going to come out of that. You'd have thought they bored 32 feet down. It's the clearest provision. It's the most pure provision. Brother Gary did get that job. God is a prayer-answering God. Hallelujah. You know, if this would have been us, we can read about Israel's doubt and fear. But if this would have been us, you know what we'd have been doing? Well, now let's see. Let's see where we can dam up a river. Let's see how many pipes we can run here. And let's just get us some water out there. Or let's have folks make several trips back and forth between the wells that we've already encountered. But God said, no, I don't want to do it man's way. God's got a provision for you, sir. And it's going to be done his way. He's going to bring clear, pure water out of the rock. And it's going to be an answer above all answers. When they start tasting that water, they said, hey, this don't taste like desert water. This tastes like it came from a cool, deep, pure, rich spring of living water. I'm preaching to the people of God tonight. God's no respecter of persons. What he did for Israel long ago, bringing water out of a rock, he still is the rock, and he's got a provision for somebody tonight. Another writer said, or this same writer, Asaph, said, he brought streams out of the rock. They didn't have to one by one get underneath that rock and wait for a drop. There was 6 million of them, folks. There were 6 million thirsty people walking through that desert. God brought water out of a rock to give water to 6 million people who had a need. And there probably are about 250 people here tonight. God can certainly perform the miracle that we need tonight. If he can provide for 6 million, he can provide for our individual needs. But they didn't have to get under there and wait drop by drop and drip by drip and spurt by spurt. Bible says he made streams. In fact, one writer said the waters gushed out. Gushed out. Anybody ready for a gusher? Huh? It's all right to use that word. It's a Bible word. It's Psalm 78 and 20 if you want to check it out. The rock gave forth the waters and they gushed. God, you might be able to help them, but you can't help me. He's not a God that just drips. Hallelujah. He's a gushing God. He's a gushing God. That sounds pretty good. Somebody write a song about that. He's a gushing God. God, I need a gusher. Somebody needs to say that. That's what I thought. We're too highfalutin to say that. Could it be we're too highfalutin to get the miracles that God, because we're trying to figure it all out, and we want to lay the pipelines, and we want to draw out all the plans, when all the time God said, I've got a gusher inside that rock. I've got everything you need. Folks, the scripture says, we are complete. We are complete. We are complete in Him. You just keep preaching Jesus and you've got enough. You just keep praying in Jesus, you've got enough. I'm tired of these extra doctrines and all these extra ornaments. You just keep on preaching Jesus and you've got enough. Let's praise Him together. There's nothing that quenches your thirst like water. I like Coke. But Coke will coat your tongue on a hot day. I like iced tea, lemonade, raspberry tea, peach tea, 7-Up. But there's something about water. Water. God could have given me anything. He could have made peach tea come out of that rock. Hey, water's enough. The Creator put in that water what this body needs. God has put inside the flowing river of His Spirit everything we need. Folks, let's don't make the mistake of trying to plan it all out and get some extra things in this apostolic church. All we need is the rock and the water of His Spirit. And those waters gushed out. If they did get underneath that rock, they not only got a drink, they got a bath. It just started gushing out. It just started flowing out. There was enough for everybody. There is enough for everybody. There's enough of God for everybody here tonight. There's enough of power of God for everybody tonight. Hey, you think we're fooling? There's a God that can perform every miracle that's needed in this house. Can answer every prayer in this house. He's a God that gushes out. He's a provider. He's a provider. Just when we need. I don't know what your need is tonight, but whatever it is, He's the rock. One writer said it this way. He made waters come out of the rock of flint. In other words, the rock was hard. But God brought water out of a hard and difficult situation. No matter how difficult it looks. And I know it's very easy to make these cliches standing here at a pulpit on Sunday night. But I really feel like somebody needs to take this home with you this week. No matter how difficult it is. Remember, God can bring waters out of a flinty rock. You say, I've never been through anything like this. I'm going to tell you what, folks. I don't believe in pity parties for ourselves or giving each other pity parties, but I do think we need to be real. We are facing things we have never faced before. We are. And we're going to continue to face them. We're going to face difficult things. But there's a God who can bring water out of hard situations. It doesn't matter what is happening right now in your life. There's a God that can bring streams of water out of that hard and difficult situation. Then the psalmist wrote, He's also a God of refuge and protection. He's a God of refuge and protection. Has anybody ever felt so harassed? Your nerves, literally on edge. Anxiousness building up in you because of circumstances and situations. There's a God that's concerned about every situation and every need that we face. And here's what the writer said about those kind of times. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. When? In the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. In the time of trouble, in the time of distress, God is that rock of protection and refuge. There's a secret place. There's a time of trouble like we have never seen before. He's going to hide you. He's going to set you up on a rock. He's going to place you there. He said, a man shall be a hiding place from the wind. There's going to be a comfort and a covering from the tempest. And as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, the shadow, there's a high protruding mountain and cliff. And the way the sun is angled, it's shining down on the land where you live, but above you is a rock. Because of the position of that rock, when that sun beats down, that trial beats down, that trouble beats down, it hits that rock instead of hitting you. And when it hits that rock creates a shadow. And there is no other place of rest around. He said, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is going to be like a great rock in a weary. I felt halted when I read that verse in preparation this week. I wanted to know really what God was talking about when he said weary land. That word weary comes from two definitions. One of them is fatigued. And the second one is thirsty. So when he said weary land, he was talking about somebody being so weary. God, I prayed about this. God, I've agonized about this. I'm getting weary. And when you get so weary, sometimes you don't make correct decisions. I just want to help somebody. I'm not coming to condemn anybody right now. Far be it from me. I'm the last person. When we get weary and thirsty, our thinking doesn't go right. We're so tired. You've ever been there just in the natural? You're so tired and you can't even think properly. It happens spiritually. Fatigued and thirsty. I've fretted about this. I've tried to work this out. I've tried everything I need to try. Everything I could try. I just want to point you to the rock tonight. Get underneath the shadow of that great rock of ages. Get underneath the shelter. Let him hide you. Find rest. I'm going to tell you something that you already know, but you just need to be reminded tonight in that weary land. If you keep trying to walk on your own, you will fall face down in the desert to be prey for any beast or anybody that comes along. But if you'll go to the rock, say, I need your refuge, I need your shadow, I need your blessing, you're going to find the refuge that you need. Would you bow your heads with us, please?